had to.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedula Chile. Tati. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amta Sagvenu Taharenu Lo Rafa Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagi Bor Doche Yud Chai Devava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf that created the constellation Dagim, the fishes, the Pisces, and the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, the planet of righteousness. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it will be healed, where it will be cleansed, where it will be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body where it will again do its job as it was initially created perfectly. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkachem amidam lein betet resh tzaditah gimel Chasin Kadosh Berotucha Na'el Adotah Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Ge'eh Lamcha Tenei Dovrei Kitadah Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Utmashiatatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Sadi Yud Tav. We're now going to read the four verses that connect us to the energy of last year and this year. We connect to the energy of last year so that we continue to change and not to fall back. To the changes that we make within ourselves will activate and manifest more of the ceasefires or ultimately the peace plans in the Middle East and in the state of Israel, more than just the southern border. Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam timakom le'abun Yisrael untati v'shatam kachav v'lo yodayim ed v'lo yodayim yifu Yisei avla la'anoto ka'asher barisona. And the three verses that help us change ourselves so that we can manifest the removal of the angel of death. We can realize that death is an illusion that does not have to happen and nobody has to die. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo yemi nemi lo nemi ad biliki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru uru mikol hamachavu iyam. Asher yitchavei sham utatem. Eli el nachum. Behalakti item. Wehayayim yeshno. Varet vehi pati oto bekol alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo laneta yovedo roav yomru alo. And the eighth verse is the one verse we say silently. Baruch Shem Kibbutz. We're going to be reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Vayikra, section 2, verse 26. And before that, we're going to say the L'shem Yehud, which is a phrase or a verse or a blessing or a Hebrew paragraph that deals with unifying our consciousness with that of unity of everything. The unity of the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, unity of Zeranpin with Malchut, male with female, and the unity of you with other people. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Te Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Liakta Shem Yud ke bavav ke biyud duhuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Vayikra el Moshe, vaydaber Hashem, elav me'o'el mo'ed, le'mor rabbi chiya, patach v'yamar bati, legani achoti, Kala Ariti Mori Im Bisha Sama Sami Akalti Yari Im Divshi Shatiti Yeni Im Chalayavi Vigomer Hai Kiralav Resheya Sefeya Bilav Sefeya Resheya Kitivachalti Yari Imdivshi Shatiti Yani Imchalavi Levatar Aichlu Reim Mand Mizamen Leachara Kad Mizona Mitakan Kamea Batard Itehu Akal Heaich Yasmin Leachara. And Hashem called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, Rabbi Chiya opens the discussion with the verse, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. The beginning of the verse disagrees with its ending, and its ending with its beginning. It says, I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk, and following this it is written, eat, O dear ones. One who invites others to eat does so when the food is set before him. However, once he has eaten, how can he invite another to eat with him? Yet it is written, I have eaten my honeycomb, I have drunk my milk, indicating that he has already eaten. The question asked by the Zohar seems reasonable. It is only when we apply the codes of the Torah that the question is unnecessary. Wine and milk represent the left and right columns. This is true for the other analogies as well, the other pairs. Now apply the two columns to the codes of Hashem and Moshe. Hashem represents the central column. Moshe represents desire and left column of Malchut. Hashem is asking Moshe to move to the central column. Thus, the two aspects of right and left do not apply. They are unified. It is not about eating. Does anyone have any questions? There are two main pages on the Hashem website that we will use today to pick up a number of different readings and items that it is going to be recommended that you read. So please open these two pages in different tabs or windows on your computer, if you're following along. The two are located on the Hashem website. The first one is on any page that you open to on the Hashem website. Underneath the two pictures on the right, there are various links in called inquiries. The second to the last says Unique Astrological Times. Please open that one. Then go back to the other page, to the Hashem website, or you can even use that same page underneath the two pictures. But you need to change. That was a mistake. Please go to another window and open up the Hashem website again. Only this time, go to the Revealed Wisdom section. My mistake. It seems to be confusing to me. It really shouldn't be, but I apologize to you. From the Unique Astrological Events page, or Times page, scroll down to where it says Rosh Chodesh Adar. And the first link under that, which says Preparation for the Holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot, open up that link. And when you open up that link, scroll down that one to class number 4. That will be go back to the Unique Astrological Events, to the Rosh Chodesh Adar, and you can see a number of links under that, starting with the first one. But if you scroll down and look, the 8th link down is Shabbat HaKodesh, declaring the new moon. And then there is another Shabbat HaKodesh, taking control of the year by taking control of the astrological influences. We're going to read from the first link, but I'm recommending very strongly that you take a look, because we won't have time to connect to it, to the second link. Open it, leave it open, and when you have time, read it. there's a lot of material there, a lot of understanding that will, a lot of things that will help you understand what is Shabbat HaKodesh. But the first link that we're going to read now is speaking about Shabbat HaKodesh and its essence. Why do we have these four special maftirs and haftorot in the last 5 weeks? What is this all about? This is the fourth of the special Shabbat readings, and it will happen next Saturday, next Shabbat. It is called Shabbat HaKodesh, the Sabbath of the New Moon. It is always read on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or on Rosh Chodesh Nisan if they coincide, which is the case in this year. It consists of chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. It consists of 20 verses, which connect back to the first of the four. Remember the half shekel? The half shekel reading, which teaches that a shekel is 20 gerar. I will just take a quick aside and say I will be helping to make atonement through the donation of the half shekel, which reconnects each soul that does the ritual, or that it has the ritual done for it, which connects each soul back to the quantum soul of the children of Israel. Each of us get counted during the year. And when that happens, we are disconnected from the quantum consciousness, because as the Zohar says, blessings do not rest on what has been limited, what has been counted. I will do that again this Thursday night, because that is the last opportunity or the last day, in essence, where it can be done prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if you haven't had it done, and you'd like to have it done, please send me an email. I'm continuing to read because we're talking about Shabbat HaKodesh. What is the purpose of this special reading of Shabbat HaKodesh? Why do I have to read again something that I've read a few weeks ago? Why do I have to read again this discussion of these 20 verses? What is the energy of this special reading? The whole purpose is to remind us to grow our consciousness. This is because the word HaKodesh means the new month, means newness, means additional. These 20 verses are explaining how we are to declare the new moon. This means that there is no new moon until man declares it and recognizes it on his conscious level. Understand the implications of this statement that I've just read. This is not what our scientists teach us. They tell us that the moon is following its orbit, and the relationship to the sun is what causes the new moon. This is teaching about physical cause and effect. Kabbalah teaches us to look for the spiritual cause. The spiritual cause is where Hashem is concealing himself from us. When we look for the spiritual cause, we are revealing Hashem. When we declare the new moon, we are injecting the consciousness of mankind into the new moon cycle, into the new cycle of our life. We are bringing time, represented by the cycle of the planets, from an unconscious level to a conscious level. Time is the distance between cause and effect. Time is a manifestation of the Sefirah of Chesed, which is the highest consciousness within our physical world. Some aspects of the 20 verses as taught by Kabbalah. Here is an English translation of the second verse in the Maftir reading for the Shabbat HaKodesh. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Emphasis is mine. The Kabbalists have constantly commented on this verse, since the emphasis is on the words to you. The Hebrew word is not atah, which we are used to from the formulaic blessings, Baruch atah. The word is lechem, which translates as the plural of you. The gematria of lechem is 90. When we add the kolel, it becomes 91, indicating to us and to any student of Kabbalah an energy of unification. In my opinion, the unification hinted at is the union of our conscious with our unconscious. What happens when we, mankind, declares the new moon time on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh? What happens if nobody in the world did that? What happens when somebody in the world does it? Here is a hint. In Kabbalistic minyans, the time is an announcement is announced in as many languages as exist in the minyan, as the minyan has members that have the knowledge of how to say the announcement of the new moon in different languages. If you know Mandarin, then it is announced in Mandarin because you do it. If you know Cantonese, it is announced in Cantonese because you do it. If you know Russian, it is announced in Russian. This is true for all languages of the world. Remember the teaching that the Sanhedrin announced the new moon, and the Sanhedrin members required to speak all 70 languages, plus Hebrew and plus Aramaic. There are additional items that need to be added here. Due to the time considerations, they have not yet been added. My commentary continues. The unity of the last six parashiot of the book of Exodus has great insight into the meaning of the holiday of Pesach and hints to us what is our spiritual work. I have mentioned in other classes that we would be looking at the meaning of these parashiot, Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayechel, and finally, Pikudei, along with the four special readings, that of the half shekel, Amalek, the Para Aduma, and HaChodesh. All of these have to do with consciousness and growing our consciousness to include the levels of our unconscious. Here is just one thought with this in mind. Feel free to contemplate this unity for yourself. It will help you grow your consciousness. The word in the Parasha Mishpatim is talking about laws. The Truma translates as contributions. Tetzaveh, command, which we know as idol worship from the Zohar. Kitisa, if or when you take. Vayechel, assemble. Pikudei, it's an accounting, or it starts as an accounting, or putting things in order. Here's how I put these six names, these six parashiot together, the energy of these six parashiot, and why these four readings connect to them. The law is to make a contribution, yet it is not a command, and we need to guard against it becoming an idol. When you take your unconscious and assemble it with your conscious, make sure you do your self-accounting first. Otherwise, even self-analysis becomes an idol. That's the end of this particular handout explaining the essence of Shabbat HaKodesh. Does anybody have any questions? Now, if we go to class, well, we're going to my mistake again. If you go back to the unique astrological times, there is a handout underneath the Shabbat HaKodesh links called First Days of Nisan. We're going to start there. There is a Kabbalistic minhag that I highly recommend. I've experienced it myself. I know it works. If you read the introduction, where you do have a link on this page for that introduction, it's the first link there. If you do read the introduction, it explains what happens in these first 12 days of Nisan. Essentially, the first day of Nisan and the first 12 days of Nisan was the days that the Nasiim, that the princes of the tribes, the heads of the tribes, brought their sacrifices. When we read, scan, connect to these princes and their sacrifices brought on the first days of Nisan, that is the seed level for controlling the astrological influences of the whole year, or at least for the month that you make that connection, which means the day that you scan those particular verses and the days that you study what is the consciousness of the individual Nasi that we learn through the Midrash, that tells us what was the meaning behind their sacrifice, what they brought. They all brought exactly the same physical things, but they all brought them for different reasons. And by making these connections and do this study, which takes as long as you want, if it's scanning, and reading in English takes maybe 10 minutes. As long as you do that, or if it takes an hour because there are recommended meditations, you are taking control of the astrological influence of that particular sign. So on Nisan day 3, as an example, and I'm just going to go through one of them. If you click on Nisan Day 3, and we will read this handout, or much of it. We may just summarize some of it. The Rosh Chodesh Sivan for the year is the evening of, this is for last year. We have not yet updated it, but it will be done, Bezrat Hashem. And with the help of volunteers as well. At sundown, while the third day of Nisan connects to the month of Sivan, it is on the night of April 2nd, and the day of April 3rd. What I'm saying in this, which may seem confusing, there's a day in Nisan, the third day of Nisan, that controls the Rosh Chodesh of Sivan, which is later in Nisan. Not in Nisan, later in the year. It is taught that on this day of connection to the tribe of Zebulun, Zebulun is related to Sivan, it is good to read or scan the portion of the manna given in the desert. This represents a connection to sustenance and improved financial results for the day. Please click on this link after your other connections in the morning. I also recommend that you click on the manna portion today, because today is a unique day. It is the birth date of creation, the first day, day one of creation. But isn't the Rosh Hashanah in the seventh month, not the first month? The Torah tells us that Nisan is the first month of the year. So why do we have the head of the year in the seventh month? The quick answer is the seventh month represents manifestation. The first month represents potential. And those days, the first of Nisan and the first of Tishrei, is really the sixth day of creation, the day that man was created, because the universe was created for man. So you have to back up to this today, to this Sunday. Actually, to tonight is the first day of creation, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Saturday. So the first day of creation is tonight. And so tomorrow it would be good to read the manna portion, especially if you're looking for a job, especially if you feel stress in financial areas of your life. It's a good day to make that connection. According to the teachings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, may he forever be a light unto the world, one should follow the steps below. The more that one learns about the following, the permutation of the names of God associated with the month of Sivan, the letters that created the month of Sivan, and the constellation associated with the tribe of Zebulun, which is the Gemini, the two Omim, the twins. The correlation of items from the Sefer Yetzirah. There's a whole series of things that are connected either in the Sefer Yetzirah or in other writings, including the stones on the breastplate of the high priest, including the body parts, including the external aspects of the body. There are many different connections, unifications, that study will help you control the astrological influences for the third day, which is the third month. If you do this all 12 days from the 1st of Nisan to the 12th of Nisan, you have controlled the whole year. And here's a final secret. The 13th day of Nisan, 13 represents Echad, it represents unity. The 13th day of Nisan unifies the first 12 days. If you missed a particular reading, for the 13th day, which is the all 12. And because you're unifying, because the consciousness, the energy of the day is unification, you get your second chance. The mercy of Hashem is being manifested. There are Torah verses that describe the initial offering of the Nasi of the tribe of Zebulun. That's the fourth item in this series of things to do, which, as I said, can take 10 minutes to an hour. The fifth item is the character traits described by that name, which is Zebulun, which in this case, we call him Eliab ben Chalon. And that name creates a deeper understanding to the tribe and to the character traits associated with the tribe. And the consciousness behind the giving of each of the articles of the offering that is described in the Torah verses. And then please excuse me for saying sacrifice instead of offering. The stronger will be one's connections to these tools that will give a person control over the month of the year that is being developed in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is control over the month of Nisan. The more you learn about the tribe of Zebulun, the more you learn about the sense of walking, the more you learn about the controller, which is the left foot. I'm sorry I haven't put other connections that come from the ancient Kabbalistic connections that are in each month's blog for the month. So go to a document called Kabbalah Blog Sivan 5774. We don't have 5775. We haven't been there yet. But in 5774, you will find additional items that relate to the tribe of Zebulun. Again, do what you have time to do, because there's a lot of cleaning to do this month. There's a lot of effort going into spiritual work in the month of Nisan. A lot we have to do. Not have to, but choose to. So the first step to follow is the permutation of the tetragrammaton. And in this case, it's the normal one, Yohei Wavhei. But there's also the name Echie, Ayo Hei Hei. The Anabekoach. What line does the third month of the year do we utilize? The sixth verse, and scan the letters of Resh and Zion. Resh creating the planet Kohav, and which is Mercury, and the Zion that creating the constellation of Tuumim, and recognizing that Resh and Zion together represents the Hebrew word Raz, which means secret or concealed. The third thing is to look at all the three different aspects, not just three, but all of the aspects from the Sefer Yetzirah and from the ancient teachings that are in the blog. Make your connection. Learn more about these things. And then study what's at the end of this page, the donation of each tribe leader. and the consciousness that it had, that that person had. And you can see each verse to be scanned or read. These all are in the parasha of Nasi, Naso actually. They all are from chapter 7. And the first verse for this Nasi, for this chieftain, I have left off the verse number, so perhaps one of the volunteers will take a look at that. But you can see the verses you're scanning are exactly the same except for the name of the person and the tribe involved. But these sequences of letters will teach you what it teaches you. Meaning, the sequence of letters is going to cause spiritual changes, which will eventually manifest as physical changes in your actions, in your character, in your personality, all to the good. This is what reading the Torah is all about. So we go through the scanning of these six verses. And then we look at the meaning he written here about his name, Eliab ben Chilion, explaining and permutating the letters of the word. And you'll notice that the tribe for this day, statement that is in bold, is a link. It's a link to the name portion, the name form, the name result that is returned when you type into Zebulon on the name form on the Yeshem website. If you haven't done that for your own name, I recommend you do. You'll learn a lot about yourself. But not all the names have been completed. There's a database of over 18,000 names. And I probably haven't done and analyzed more than 100. There's a link to the location of the verses in our Bible database. So if you typed in the chapter 7 of the book of Numbers in our biblical inquiry link, you'd get the same thing that you're going to get from that link, from the link about the Tanakh verses. We've tried to make it relatively easy for you to do this work. It is work because it includes looking at yourself. Because the astrological influences are things that you need to control during the month that happens, and your best place to do any kind of control is at the seed level, at the Keter. And there is no earlier Keter than the first 12 days of Nisan. And if you look at this matrix, you see the consciousness expressed from the Midrash for all of the things that this Nasi brought. In his case, Zebulun was thinking that the bowl he brought was the sea, which was near his land and which also brought forth the Tehelet snail, the snail that produced the dye that becomes Tehelet. He also thought that the bowl was food, and he gave that food to Issachar, and so forth. So you can see the consciousness is different from each nasi. But those consciousness also relate as seed levels of your soul. Because which one of the 12 tribes does your soul come from? It's all related. Please use these days of Nissan Link. Know how to find it. Know how to get back to it. Now, if you go to the preparation for the holidays and open up class number 4, I'm going to, last week we made the, read the Midrash about today. And as you can see, we haven't really gone forward with this, but we need to. We need to really relate to this Midrash. It's important. I was going to read it again, but time is of the essence. So you need to scroll down from this page 4. And you'll see that you have the same links all over again. Another way to get to them, those links that we will start using next Shabbat. Now, if you go back to the preparation for the holiday link and open up class 5. When you open up, it says Purim, Pesach, Omer, Shavuot, class 4. Because this is the study for the 4th class. But in this series of classes, because of dates and additions that I have made, we're on the 90th, we're on the 5th class. This is the 5th class this year for this 90-day period from Zion Adar through Shavuot. Class 1 and 2 dealt with Purim and removing doubt. Class 3 dealt with the 13 days of Nisan, which I've combined into this day's class. And class 4 begins your preparation for Pesach, which actually, you could have begun your preparations for Pesach with the study of the Halakha the day after Purim, actually on Shushan Purim, if you had wished. And you should know that for next year, because the preparations for Pesach do take time. We are all busy and our schedules don't change because it's Pesach. And because it takes this cleaning period, which we're going to discuss. And I will also say that I have put on the website, on the unique astrological events, a handout relating to the halakha for the cleaning of Passover. It's based on an Orthodox background, Orthodox tradition, but I've also included Kabbalistic understandings for those traditions. You don't have to do it to the extreme that they do, but understand what you miss when you don't. As one starts preparation for Pesach, the beginning is cleaning, one thinks. One starts to clean physically, and then as you go through these mundane tasks, you start to meditate through the physical action and start to meditate as to a subject that is dear to you. Something you need to get answered about yourself. This meditation is on the spiritual cleansing that one needs to do within oneself. This year, I would like to share a change with you. Let us start to evaluate on the following prior to starting our physical cleaning, and let this be the frame of reference for our spiritual cleansing. Pesach is a spiritual process as well as a physical tool, physical process. Pesach should be a spiritual tool to achieve a higher state of consciousness. Let us start our spiritual process by answering the question, what is the difference between being spiritual and being religious? It's something that is so easy to fall into, the mistake of becoming religious. One answer that I've written here: when one makes his desire to receive to be consistent with Hashem's will, the plan of creation, that is being religious. When one knows his desire to receive was created by Hashem, and therefore his desire is the plan of creation, it is Hashem's will, that is being spiritual. Say the Ana B'Koach and contemplate these two short sentences for a few minutes, and then start your cleaning. You'll find your Seder to be an exceptional spiritual experience. And remember the rules of my classes. Never believe a word I say, yet please try what I suggest. Pesach preparation starts the day after Purim and is usually thought of as spring cleaning. Yet it is much more, as we will begin to see in this class, and a significant amount of gematria associated with the words and the letters of Passover. Before we start the gematria, let us remind you a teaching from the basic class 3. Getting crazy over physical cleaning, excuse me, that's the class 3 of Passover preparation. Getting crazy over physical cleaning for the spring without realizing that we need to cleanse spiritually is so inappropriate. It really needs to be stronger words. It's a waste of time. It's idol worship. Please look at the English translation of the prayers associated with the burning of the chametz. That's what we do on the morning of the 14th of Nisan. In that prayer, we say that any chametz I did not remove is null and void and does not exist. So why clean at all? We will answer that in a little bit. Some Pesach gematria. Prior to the holiday of Pesach is an unusual Shabbat. It is unusual since it has a special name, but no special readings or rituals. It is called Shabbat HaGadol. Gadol translates as big, great, or large. Shabbat HaGadol translates as the Great Shabbat. That's what will happen in 2 weeks. But the important aspect of Gadol, HaGadol, is that the gematria is 42, relating to creation. You can read this through this gematria. We don't have a lot of time. Let's scroll down past the gematria section to matzah and chametz. Matzah is made from wheat grains and any of the other grains. Matzah is bread. Actually, in the bread that was eaten in the temple, it was always matzah, not matzah that's hard like we get in today, but it was baked with as little, what's it called, what it makes bread and cakes rise? Yeast. It was baked with as little yeast as possible. It was baked with the control mechanism of the 18 minutes, just like matzah is. In essence, when it talks about bread in the Torah, it's talking about, that's why they're called showbread. It's talking about matzah. It's talking about bread that has the ego removed, which is the limitation of cooking for 18 minutes. Why does there this 18-minute limit on the physical development of matzah? Grains usually have yeast associated with them. This yeast expands when mixed with water and heat. Yeast is what makes bread and cake rise. Yeast is chametz. Kabbalah teaches that when yeast expands, it is a metaphor for our ego, which is constantly thinking we're important, constantly expanding. Therefore, when we constantly goading us on to do things as reactive behavior, because after all, our ego tells us we're important. Therefore, when we remove yeast from what we eat, we are removing our ego. Actually, it is impossible to remove yeast from grains. This is because yeast is always mixed with grains by winds and other methods. So the best we can do is to limit the time that the yeast has to expand itself. This is why we limit the time of cooking and guard the wheat from mixing with water, except as planned within those 18 minutes. When matzah is guarded as the halakha describes, then it is referred to as the name of shmura matzah, or guarded matzah. But let me add additional thoughts to you for your benefit as you prepare yourself and cleanse yourself, both spiritually and physically. During the 18 minutes, we are limiting time. And there are five worlds, five aspects. We can call them in the Kabbalah, Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Or we can call them the three physical dimensions, a fourth dimension called time, which is connected to the three physical dimensions, time and space, or as science calls it, space-time. We can see that those four, but just as everything in our life, when you rise to a higher spiritual level, you include what is below you. But when you connect consciously to what is below your spiritual level, you fall. These are spiritual realities. When we limit time as being injected into the bread of called matzah, by limiting the time, which also limits the space, it defines the space because they are connected, we do not fall spiritually to those lower levels of the four dimensions, as I just described. We remain at the spiritual level because we have limited the space-time. That's what the 18 minutes is doing, without explaining to you how the 18 applies to that. Children are taught that we eat matzah on Passover night at the Seder. It is because we rushed out of Egypt and did not have time to leave Egypt after midnight with the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn. Sorry for the interruption, but I thought somebody might be texting me that I disconnected, and Bezrat Hashem, I did not. Hopefully somebody will say something to let me know that I'm still connected.
You're still connected.
Thank you. So, the killing of the firstborn took place at midnight, and we left as rapidly as possible, according to the stories, the Midrash, as well as the Torah says, implies this, if he doesn't say it outright. But the Torah actually tells us we did not leave until the morning light. The bread could have been allowed to rise. So why did we eat matzah then? And why do we eat matzah now? And remember, we never eat matzah as relating to a physical event. Not if you're a student of Kabbalah. You're always looking for the spiritual cause. Nisan is the month that is created by the planet Mars, and this is the essence of things that people need to understand about the Seder and about eating matzah and about all of the other rituals, the 15 steps of the Seder, and so much more. Nisan is a month that is created by the planet Mars. This is taught by the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the oldest and most venerated books of Kabbalah. Mars is known as the red planet, and also the planet of wars and bloodshed. This astrological influence pours down upon our earth and everything within its aspect. This means people, animals, plants, and rocks. If we do not recognize this influence, then we still will experience this influence. After all, if the light says red and you cross the street, there's a good chance you're going to be hit. If we do not recognize the influence, then we will still experience the influence. I reread it to reinforce it. This means that people will be influenced to fight with family members or with other people. Of course, people can stop their reactions, as we are taught to do with the tool of binding by striking. Animals also have the ability to minimize this astrological influence, since animals are controlled by their owners.
Are you still there?
Did he just start?
No, I think he just got disconnected.
Have you guys been on for an hour already?
Yes.
Okay, because I tried an hour ago and couldn't get through, so.
I did recognize the disconnection, and okay. I'm not surprised by the timing of that disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks and inanimate objects do not move, and so the influence is significantly lessened.
Are you going again?
Guess so.
You think he'll come back?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. He has to be texted if he doesn't know.
I'm back.
Oh,
I'm back.
Back.
I did recognize it.
Okay.
Grains are to the plant kingdom what people are to the animal kingdom. Grains have the largest desire to receive within the frame of the plant kingdom, just as people have the largest desire to receive within the animal kingdom. As such, much of the astrological influence is absorbed by the grains during the month of Nisan. If we people eat that grain as bread with the expanded ego of the yeast, we will become influenced by this energy of war, of bloodshed, and general arguments and mayhem. In fact, one of my teachers described the grain in a store owned by an unobservant Jew to be the equivalent of an atomic bomb going off inside of the Jew who eats it. It will cause him to fight and create arguments and battle in all of his world during this period from Pesach until Shavuot. This is the reason we do not eat chametz during the 7 days of Pesach, or 8 days outside the land of Israel. And it is recommended to not eat chametz that was owned by a Jew during these same days. The actual mitzvah is to eat matzah only at the Seder meals, not at all days of the Pesach holiday. But it's hard to make a sandwich without matzah during Passover. That was just an aside. This makes it easier on people with stomach issues and finding matzah too binding. Of course, one may start to ask why they find it too binding, but not other people. The main point is to not eat anything or use anything with chametz within it. This means something, anything with a large desire to receive, such as the item lanolin, which is an extract from lambs. So there are many people who do not utilize their normal hair shampoo because it contains lanolin. And when we study tomorrow and Tuesday nights, this halakha that I've added, you'll have a deeper understanding of what the reason why lanolin is and shampoo and all other things are related to this issue. The selling of chametz. We'll discuss that also tomorrow, so we don't need to read it here. Just know that it is important to sell your chametz, which is anything that you've owned that has chametz, that you have as of Pesach, as of the time that Pesach comes in. If you own it, it is absorbing the energy from you, the astrological influences from you, plus their normal, their own astrological influences. The searching for chametz, the burning of chametz, the searching is the night or the The Seder night takes place the night of the 14th of Nisan. It's really the 15th of Nisan because of night. But the understanding is, on the night of the 14th, which is the day before, you search for chametz in a Kabbalistic ritual that we will discuss in the next few weeks. And in the morning, you burn the chametz that you found in your house when you searched for it. Of course, all of the chametz is out of the house by that point. We'll discuss these rituals later on. This section was just a brief introduction. And the same thing is true about the Seders. So, essentially, we have exceeded our time. We've covered a lot of different material today. And so the final question is, do you have questions? The classes that will continue this coming week, as I said, Sunday night and Monday is the Yom Echad of creation in the potential. In the potential, it needs to be understood. The difference between the first month and the seventh month. The first month is potential. The seventh month is actual, is manifestation. How can potential be actual? What is the difference? What's the difference between Keter, the seed level, and Malchut, the manifested level? When you think something, it comes into being, but of course it needs to be said. That's the manifested level. You could have seen it in your mind. Do you need to see it physically? Most people would say yes. I can't eat what's in my mind. But when you learn how to receive, Moses was 40 days on the mountain, in the cloud. 40 days and 40 nights without eating. The souls receive their sustenance through light, through the reception of light. They don't necessarily eat physical things. Is there a difference between Keter and Malchut? When the Malchut is actually the Keter of the next generation, the next cycle? What is the difference? Monday night at 7 o'clock, our class will be on Halakha. You can find it on the Unique Astrological Events page, so you don't have to wait for the class. But I think you'll find it beneficial. But that document, that handout, is too long for one class. So we will also do it Tuesday at 7 p.m., Monday and Tuesday this week. We call it Halakha. I don't think it's particularly dry. I found it a very interesting recording it and reading it and dealing with my commentaries for it. It's up to you if you want to join the class. But it will answer all of your questions regarding how to clean and what is actually necessary and what is custom. What you may choose to do that's additional effort, which is additional effort in your spiritual level. Wednesday at 7 p.m. will be our questions and answers. Please send them to me Wednesday morning by email or come to the class and ask them live. Thursday, 7 p.m., instead of our Zohar class, that's the last opportunity we have to connect and make the ritual of Rosh Chodesh, taking control of the month. Now we have a special event, the additional event of doing it Saturday morning, of doing these additions that we discussed today. So please prepare yourself to do that, because you don't have the connection that we normally have each month, because it's Shabbat, which is a gift. Having Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat is a benefit. But why you need it, we need to explain, and that will be done in the class Thursday night. And if I forget to do it, please ask me about it. This coming Saturday will be a Zohar class in the Parasha of Tazria. Does anybody have, it may be the completion of section one. There's another 13 Zohar verses to explain, to read, to complete section one. And I'm not sure if we're going to do that this coming Saturday or do a new section. It will be determined. Are there any other questions? Otherwise, I apologize for the confusions that I've expressed today. It's because it wasn't a normal pattern. There is so much in material to provide for you in preparation for Rosh Chodesh Nisan and in discussion of the Shabbat HaKodesh. And there's so little time. I wish you all a beautiful week.
Shalom and thank you.
Thank you.